7. All that region is called the region of the church, where those live who are instructed in the doctrine of true faith, as the land of Canaan when the Jewish church was there, and Europe where the Christian church now is. The lands and countries outside of this are not the region of the church or the faces of the ground. Where the church was before the flood may also appear from the lands which the rivers encompassed that went forth from the Garden of Eden, by which in various parts of the word are also described the boundaries of the land of Canaan, and also from what follows concerning the Nephilim that were in the land. And that these Nephilim dwelt in the land of Canaan is evident from what is said of the sons of Anak, that they were of the Nephilim, see Numbers 13, verse 33. 568. That daughters signify such things as are of the will of that man, consequently lusts, is evident from what was said and shown concerning sons and daughters in the preceding chapter, verse 4. Where sons signify truths and daughters goods. Daughters or goods are of the will, but such as a man is, such is his understanding and such his will. Thus such are the sons and daughters. The present passage treats of man in a corrupt state who has no will, but mere lust instead of will, which is supposed by him to be will, and is also so called. What is predicated is in accordance with the quality of the thing whereof it is predicated, and that the man of whom the daughters are here predicated was a corrupt man has been shown before. The reason why daughters signify the things of the will, and where there is no will of good, lusts, and why sons signify the things of the understanding, and where there is no understanding of truth, fantasies, is that the female sex is such and so formed that the will or lust reigns in them more than the understanding. Such is the entire disposition of their fibers, and such their nature. Whereas the male sex is so formed that the intellect or reason rules, such also being the disposition of their fibers and such their nature. Hence the marriage of the two is like that of the will and the understanding in every man. And since at this day there is no will of good but only lust, and still something intellectual or rational can be given, this is why so many laws were enacted in the Jewish church concerning the prerogative of the husband, vir, and the obedience of the wife. 569, verse 2. And the sons of God saw the daughters of man that they were good, and they took to themselves wives of all that they chose. By the sons of God are signified the doctrinal things of faith, by daughters, here as before, lusts. By the sons of God seeing the daughters of man that they were good, and taking to themselves wives of all that they chose, is signified that the doctrinal things of faith conjoin themselves with cupidities, in fact with any lusts whatsoever. 570. That by the sons of God are signified doctrinal things of faith is evident from the signification of sons, concerning which see just above and also in the preceding chapter, verse 4, where sons signify the truths of the church. The truths of the church are doctrinal things which regarded in themselves were truths, because those here treated of had them by tradition from the most ancient people, and therefore they are called the sons of God. They are so called also relatively because lusts are called the daughters of man. The quality of the members of this church is here described, namely that they immersed the truths of the church which were holy in their lusts, and thereby defiled them, and in this way they confirmed the principles of which they were so strongly persuaded. How this occurred may be easily conceived by anyone from observing what passes in himself and others. Those who persuade themselves in regard to any subject confirm themselves in such persuasion by everything which they imagine to be true, even by what they find contained in the word of the Lord. For while they cling to principles which they have received and have become persuaded of, they make everything favor and assent to them. And the more anyone is under the influence of self-love, the more firmly he holds them. Such was this race, concerning whom of the Lord's divine mercy we will treat hereafter, when we come to treat of their direful persuasions, which, strange to say, are such that they are never allowed to flow in by reasonings, but only from lusts. For otherwise they would kill everything rational in the spirits present. Hence it appears what is signified by the sons of God seeing the daughters of man that they were good, and taking to themselves wives of all that they chose. Namely, that they conjoined the doctrinal things of faith with their lusts, in fact, with any lusts. 571. When a man is such that he immerses the truths of faith in his insane lusts, he then profanes the truths and deprives himself of remains, which although they remain, yet cannot be brought forth, for as soon as they are brought forth, they are again profaned by things that are profane. For profanations of the word produce, as it were, a callosity, which causes an obstruction, and which absorbs the goods and truths of remains. Therefore let man beware of the profanation of the word of the Lord, which contains the eternal truths wherein is life, although one who is in false principles does not believe that they are truths. 572, verse 3. And Yahuwah said, My spirit shall not reprove man forever, for that he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. By Yahuwah saying, My spirit shall not always reprove man, is signified that man would not be so led any longer. For that he is flesh signifies because he had become corporeal. And his days shall be 120 years. Signifies that he ought to have remains of faith. It is also a prediction concerning a future church. 573. That by Yahuwah saying, My spirit shall not forever reprove man, is signified that man would not be so led any longer, is evident from what has gone before and from what follows. From what has gone before, in that men had become such through the immersion in lusts of the doctrinal things or truths of faith, that they could no longer be reproved, that is, know what evil is. All capacity to perceive truth and good had been extinguished through their persuasions, so that they believed that only to be true that was in conformity with their persuasions. And in regard to what follows, that after the flood the man of the church became different, in that with him conscience succeeded in place of perception, through which he could be reproved. Reproof by the Spirit of Yahuwah therefore signifies an inward dictate, a perception or a conscience. And the Spirit of Yahuwah signifies the influx of what is true and good, as also in Isaiah. I will not contend to eternity, neither will I be forever wroth, for the spirit would overwhelm before me and the souls I have made. 62, verse 16. 574. That flesh signifies that man had become corporeal appears from the signification of flesh in the word, where it is used to signify both every man in general and also specifically the corporeal man. It is used to signify every man in Joel. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. 2 verse 28. Here flesh signifies man, and spirit the influx of truth and good from the Lord. In David, thou that hearest prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. Psalm 65, verse 2. Here flesh denotes every man. In Jeremiah, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm. 17, verse 5. Here flesh signifies man, and arm power. In Ezekiel, that all flesh may know. 21, verses 4 and 5. In Zechariah, be silent, all flesh, before Yahuwah. 2 verse 13. Here flesh denotes every man. That it signifies specifically the corporeal man is evident from Isaiah. The Egyptian is man and not God, and his horses are flesh and not spirit. 31 verse 3. This signifies that their scientific is corporeal. Horses, here and elsewhere in the word, denoting the rational. Again, he shall withdraw to the right hand and shall be hungry, and he shall devour on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat everyone the flesh of his own arm. 9 verse 20. This signifies such things as are of man's proprium, which are all corporeal. In the same, he shall consume from the soul and even the flesh. 10 verse 18. Here flesh signifies corporeal things. Again, the glory of Yahuwah shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. 40 verses 5 and 6. Flesh here signifies every man who is corporeal. In the same, in fire will Yahuwah dispute, and with his sword with all flesh, and the slain of Yahuwah shall be multiplied. 66 verse 16. Here fires signify the punishment of lusts, the sword the punishment of falsities, and flesh the corporeal things of man. In David, God remembered that they were flesh, a breath that passeth away and cometh not again. Psalm 78 verse 39. This treats of the people in the wilderness desiring flesh because they were corporeal. Their desiring flesh represented that they desired only things corporeal. Numbers 11, verses 32, 33, and 34. 575. That by the days of man being 120 years, is signified that he ought to have remains of faith, appears from what has been said in the foregoing chapter, verses 3 and 4, concerning days and years signifying times and states, and also from the circumstance of the most ancient people denoting states and changes of states in the church from numbers variously compounded. But the nature of their ecclesiastical computation is now totally lost. Here, in like manner, numbers of years are mentioned, whose signification it is impossible for anyone to understand unless he be first acquainted with the hidden meaning of each particular number, from 1 to 12, and so on. It plainly appears that they contain within them something else that is secret, for that men were to live 120 years has no connection with the preceding part of the verse. Nor did they live 120 years, as is evident from the people after the flood, chapter 11, where it is said of Shem that he lived after he begat Arpachshad 500 years, and that Arpachshad lived after he begat Shalach 403 years, and that Shalach lived after he begat Eber 403 years, and that Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years, and that Noah lived after the flood 350 years, chapter 9, verse 28, and so on. But what is involved in the number 120 appears only from the meaning of 10 and 12, which being multiplied together make 120. And from the signification of these component numbers, it may be seen that 120 signifies the remains of faith. The number 10 in the word, as also tenths, signify and represent remains, which are preserved by the Lord in the internal man, and which are holy, because they are of the Lord alone. And the number 12 signifies faith, or all things relating to faith in one complex. The number, therefore, that is compounded of these signifies the remains of faith. 576. That the number 10 and also tenths signify remains is evident from the following passages of the word. Many houses shall be a desolation, great and fair, without an inhabitant. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield 1 bath, and the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. Isaiah 5, verses 9 and 10. This treats of the vastation of things spiritual and celestial. 10 acres of vineyard making a bath signifies that the remains of things spiritual were so few, and the seed of a homer yielding an ephah signifies that there were so few remains of celestial things. In the same. And many things are forsaken in the midst of the land, yet in it shall be a tenth part, and it shall return, and nevertheless it shall be consumed. 6, verses 12 and 13. Here the midst of the land signifies the internal man. A tenth part signifies the smallness of the remains. In Ezekiel, ye shall have balances of justice, and an ephah of justice, and a bath of justice. The ephah and the bath shall be of one measure, the bath to contain the tenth of a homer, and an ephah the tenth of a homer. The measure thereof shall be after the homer. And the ordinance of oil, a bath of oil, the tenth of a bath out of a core, 10 baths to the homer, for 10 baths are a homer. 45, verses 10, 11, and 14. In this passage, the holy things of Yahuwah are treated of by measures, whereby are signified the kinds of the holy things. By 10 are here signified the remains of celestial and of the derivative spiritual things. For unless such holy arcana were contained herein, what could be the use or intent of describing so many measures determined by numbers, as is done in this and the former chapters in the same prophet, where the subject is the celestial Jerusalem and the new temple, and with others further concerning the various rites of the Jewish church. In Amos, the virgin Israel is fallen, she shall no more rise. Thus saith the Lord Yahweh, The city that went out 1,000 shall have 100 remaining, and that which went out 100 shall have 10 remaining to the house of Israel. 5:2-3. Here, speaking of remains, it is said that very little would be left, being only a tenth part, or remains of remains. Again, I abhor the pride of Jacob and his palaces, and will shut up the city and its fullness. And it shall come to pass, if there shall be left 10 men in one house, they shall even die. 6:8-9. This treats of remains which should scarcely continue. In Moses, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not come into the congregation of Yahuwah. Even the 10th generation of them shall not come into the congregation of Yahuwah to eternity. Deuteronomy 23:3. An Ammonite and a Moabite signify the profanation of the celestial and spiritual things of faith, the remains of which are spoken of in what precedes. Hence it appears also that tenths represent remains. And so in Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the treasure house, that there may be booty in my house, and let them prove me, bestir ye in this, if I will not open for you the cataracts of heaven, and pour you out a blessing. 3:10. That there may be booty in my house signifies remains in the internal man, which are compared to booty because they are insinuated as by stealth among so many evils and falsities. And it is by these remains that all blessing comes. That all man's charity comes by the remains which are in the internal man was also represented in the Jewish church by this statute, that when they had made an end of tying all the ties, they should give to the Levite, to the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow. Deuteronomy 26:12-following. Inasmuch as remains are of the Lord alone, therefore the tenths are called holiness to Yahuwah, as in Moses. All the tenths of the land, of the seed of the land, of the fruit of the tree, they are Yahuwah's holiness to Yahuwah. All the tenths of the herd and of the flock, whatsoever passeth under the pastoral rod, the tenth shall be holiness to Yahuwah. Leviticus 27:30-31. That the Decalogue consisted of 10 precepts or 10 words, and that Yahuwah wrote them on tables, Deuteronomy 10:4, signifies remains. And their being written by the hand of Yahuwah signifies that remains are of the Lord alone. Their being in the internal man was represented by the tables. 577. That the number 12 signifies faith, or the things of love and the derivative faith in one complex, might also be confirmed by many passages from the Word, as from the 12 sons of Jacob and their names, the 12 tribes of Israel, and the Lord's 12 apostles. But concerning these of the Lord's divine mercy, we will treat hereafter, especially in Genesis 29:30. 578. From these numbers alone it is evident what the word of the Lord contains in its bosom and interior recesses, and how many arcana are concealed therein which do not at all appear to the naked eye. And so it is everywhere. There are similar things in every word. 579. that with the antediluvians here treated of, there were few and almost no remains, will be manifest from what of the Lord's divine mercy will be said of them hereafter. And as no remains could be preserved among them, it is here foretold of the new church called Noah, that it should have remains. Concerning which also of the Lord's divine mercy we will treat hereafter. 580, verse 4. There were Nephilim in the earth in those days, and especially after the sons of God went in unto the daughters of man, and they bare to them. The same became mighty men who were of old, men of renown. By Nephilim are signified those who through a persuasion of their own loftiness and preeminence made light of all things holy and true. And especially after the sons of God went in unto the daughters of man, and they bare to them, signifies that this occurred when they immersed the doctrinals of faith in their lusts, and formed persuasions of what is false. They are called mighty men from their love of self. Of old, men of renown, signifies that there had been such before. 581. That by the Nephilim are signified those who through a persuasion of their own loftiness and preeminence made light of all things holy and true, appears from what precedes and what follows, namely, that they immersed the doctrinals of faith in their lusts, signified by the sons of God going in unto the daughters of man, and their bearing unto them. Persuasion concerning self and its fantasies increases also according to the multitude of the things that enter into it, till at length it becomes indelible. And when the doctrinals of faith are added thereto, then from principles of the strongest persuasion they make light of all things holy and true, and become Nephilim. That race which lived before the flood is such that they so kill and suffocate all spirits by their most direful fantasies, which are poured forth by them as a poisonous and suffocating sphere, that the spirits are entirely deprived of the power of thinking and feel half dead. And unless the Lord by his coming into the world had freed the world of spirits from that poisonous race, no one could have existed there, and consequently the human race, who are ruled by the Lord through spirits, would have perished. They are therefore now kept in a hell under, as it were, a misty and dense rock, under the heel of the left foot. Nor do they make the slightest attempt to rise out of it. Thus is the world of spirits free from this most dangerous crew, concerning which and its most poisonous fear of persuasions of the Lord's divine mercy we will treat hereafter. These are those who are called Nephilim, and who make light of all things holy and true. Further mention is made of them in the word, but their descendants were called Anakim and Rephaim. That they were called Anakim is evident from Moses. There we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, of the Nephilim, and we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so we were in their eyes. Numbers 13, verse 33. That they were called Rephaim appears also from Moses. The Amim dwelt before in the land of Moab, a people great and many and tall as the Anakim, who also were accounted Rephaim, as the Anakim and the Moabites call them Amim. Deuteronomy 2, verses 10 and 11. The Nephilim are not mentioned any more, but the Rephaim are, and are described by the prophets to be such as are above stated. As in Isaiah, hell low down has been in commotion for thee, To meet thee in coming, it hath stirred up the Rephaim for thee. 14:9. This treats of the hell which is the abode of such spirits. In the same. Thy dead shall not live, the Rephaim shall not arise, because thou hast visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. 26:14. Here also their hell is referred to, from which they shall no more rise again. In the same. Thy dead shall live, my corpse, they shall rise again. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for the dew of verbs is thy dew. But thou shalt cast out the land of the Rephaim. 26:19. The land of the Rephaim is the hell above spoken of. In David. Wilt thou show a wonder to the dead? Shall the Rephaim arise? Shall they confess to thee? Psalm 88:10. This treats in like manner concerning the hell of the Rephaim, and that they cannot rise up and infest the sphere of the world of spirits with the very direful poison of their persuasions. But it has been provided by the Lord that mankind should no longer be filled with such dreadful fantasies and persuasions. Those who lived before the flood were of such a nature and genius that they could be infilled for a reason as yet unknown, concerning which of the Lord's divine mercy we will treat hereafter. 582. After that the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare to them. That this signifies that they became Nephilim when they had immersed the doctrinals of faith in their lusts is evident from what was said and shown above in verse 2, namely, that the sons of God signify the doctrinal things of faith, and that daughters signify lusts. The birth thereby produced must needs make light of and profane the holy things of faith. For the lusts of man, being those of the love of self and of the world, are altogether contrary to what is holy and true. For when in man lusts prevail, so that what is holy and true, and is acknowledged to be such, is immersed in lusts, it is all over with the man, for the lusts cannot be rooted out and separated. They cling to every idea, and in the other life it is ideas that are communicated from one to another, so that as soon as any idea of what is holy and true is brought forth, what is profane and false is joined to it, which is instantly perceived. Therefore such persons have to be separated and thrust down into hell. 583. That the Nephilim are called mighty men from the love of self is evident from various passages of the word where such are called mighty, as in Jeremiah. The mighty ones of Babel have ceased to fight, they sit in their holds. Their might faileth, they are become as women. 51:30. Here the mighty ones of Babel denote those who are eaten up with the love of self. In the same. A sword is against the liars, and they shall be insane. A sword is against her mighty ones, and they shall be dismayed. 50:36. Again. I saw them dismayed, and turning away back, their mighty ones were broken in pieces, and had been put to flight, and looked not back. Fear was round about, the swift shall not flee away, nor the mighty one escape. Come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty ones go forth. Cush, Put, the Lydians. 46:5, 6, and 9. This treats of persuasion from reasonings. Again, how say ye, we are mighty and men of strength for war? Moab is laid waste. 47 verses 14 and 15. Again, the city is taken, and the strongholds it has been seized. And the heart of the mighty men of Moab in that day is become as the heart of a woman in her pangs. 48 verse 41. In like manner it is said, the heart of the mighty ones of Edom. 49 verse 22. Again, Yahuwah hath redeemed Jacob, and hath avenged him from the hand of him that was mightier than he. 31 verse 11. Here mighty is expressed by another term, that the Anakim who were of the Nephilim were called mighty ones is evident from Moses. Thou passest over Jordan today, to go in to possess nations greater and more numerous than thyself, cities great and fortified to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard. Who shall stand before the sons of Anak? Deuteronomy 9, verses 1 and 2. 584, verse 5. And Yahuwah saw that the evil of man was multiplied in the earth, and that all the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil every day. Yahuwah saw that the evil of man was multiplied on the earth signifies that there began to be no will of good. All the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil every day, signifies that there was no perception of truth and good. 585. That by the evil of man being multiplied in the earth is signified that there began to be no will of good, is evident from what was said above, namely, that there was no longer any will but only lust, and from the signification of man in the earth. In the literal sense, the earth is where man is. In the internal sense, it is where the love is. And as love is of the will or of the lust, the earth is taken to mean the will itself of man. For man is man from willing, and not so much from knowing and understanding, because these flow out from his will. Whatever does not flow out from his will, he is willing neither to know nor understand. Nay, even when he is speaking or doing something that he does not will, still there is something of the will remote from the speech or action that governs him. That the land of Canaan or the Holy Land denotes love, and consequently the will of the celestial man, might be confirmed by many passages from the Word. In like manner that the lands of various nations denote their loves, which in general are the love of self and the love of the world. But as this subject so often recurs, it need not be dwelt upon here. Hence it appears that by the evil of man on the earth is signified his natural evil, which is of the will, and which is said to be multiplied, because it was not so depraved in all, but that they wished good for others, yet for the sake of themselves. But that the perversion became complete is signified by the imagination of the thoughts of the heart. 586. The imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil every day, signifies that there was no perception of truth and good, for the reason, as before said and shown, that they immersed the doctrinal things of faith in their filthy lusts. And when this occurred, all perception was lost, and in place thereof a dreadful persuasion succeeded, that is, a most deep-rooted and deadly fantasy, which was the cause of their extinction and suffocation. This deadly persuasion is here signified by the imagination of the thoughts of the heart. But by the imagination of the heart, without the word thoughts, is signified the evil of the love of self or of lusts, as in the following chapter, where Yahuwah said after Noah had offered a burnt offering, I will not again curse the ground for man's sake, because the imagination of the heart of man is evil from his childhood. 8, verse 21. An imagination is that which man invents for himself and of which he persuades himself, as in Habakkuk. What profiteth a graven image, that the fashioner thereof hath graven it? The molten image and teacher of lies, that the fashioner trusteth to his imagination to make dumb idols. 2, verse 18. A graven image signifies false persuasions originating in principles conceived and hatched out by oneself. The fashioner is one who is thus self-persuaded, of whom this imagination is predicated. In Isaiah, your subversion, shall the potter be reputed as the clay, that the work should say to him that made it, he made me not, and the thing fashioned say to him that fashioned it, he had no understanding. 29, verse 16. The thing fashioned here signifies thought originating in man's proprium, and the persuasion of what is false thence derived. A thing fashioned or imagined in general is what a man invents from the heart or will, and also what he invents from the thought or persuasion, as in David. Yahuwah knoweth our fashioning, figmentum. He remembereth that we are dust. Psalm 103, verse 14. In Moses, I know his imagination that he doeth this day, before I bring him into the land. Deuteronomy 31, verse 21. 586a, verse 6. And it repented Yahuwah that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That he repented signifies mercy. That he grieved at the heart has a like signification. To repent has reference to wisdom, to grieve at the heart, to love. 587. That it repented Yahuwah that he made man on the earth signifies mercy. And that he grieved at the heart has a like signification is evident from this, that Yahuwah never repents because he foresees all things from eternity, both in general and in particular. And when he made man, that is, created him anew and perfected him till he became celestial, he also foresaw that in process of time he would become such as is here described. And because he foresaw this, he could not repent. This appears plainly from what Samuel said. The invincible one of Israel doth not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. First Book of Samuel 15, verse 29. And in Moses, God is not a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Numbers 23, verse 19. But to repent signifies to be merciful. The mercy of Yahuwah or of the Lord includes everything that is done by the Lord towards mankind, who are in such a state that the Lord pities them, each one according to his state. Thus he pities the state of him whom he permits to be punished, and pities him also to whom he grants the enjoyment of good. It is of mercy to be punished, because mercy turns all the evil of punishment into good. And it is of mercy to grant the enjoyment of good, because no one merits anything that is good. For all mankind are evil, and of himself everyone would rush into hell. Wherefore it is of mercy that he is delivered thence. Nor is it anything but mercy, inasmuch as he has need of no man. Mercy has its name from the fact that it delivers man from miseries and from hell. Thus it is called mercy in respect to mankind, because they are in such a state of misery. And it is the effect of love towards them all, because all are so. 588. But it is predicated of the Lord that he repents and is grieved at heart, because there appears to be such a feeling in all human mercy, so that what is said here of the Lord's repenting and grieving is spoken according to the appearance, as in many other passages in the Word. What the mercy of the Lord is, none can know, because it infinitely transcends the understanding of man. But what the mercy of man is, we all know to be to repent and grieve. And unless a man were to form his idea of mercy according to his own apprehension, he could not have any conception of it, and thus he could not be instructed. And this is the reason why human qualities are often predicated of the attributes of Yahuwah or the Lord, as that Yahuwah or the Lord punishes, leads into temptation, destroys, and is angry, when yet he never punishes anyone, never leads any into temptation, never destroys any, and is never angry. But as even such things as these are predicated of the Lord, it follows that repentance also and grief may be predicated of him. For the predication of the one follows from that of the other, as plainly appears from the following passages in the Word. In Ezekiel, mine anger shall be consummated. I will make my wrath to rest, and it shall repent me. 5, verse 13. Here, because anger and wrath are predicated, repentance is predicated also. In Zechariah, as I thought to do evil when your fathers provoked me to anger, saith Yahuwah Zebaoth, and it repented me not, so again I will think in those days to do good unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. 8, verses 14 and 15. Here it is said that Yahuwah thought to do evil, and yet he never thinks to do evil to any, but good to all and everyone. In Moses, when he prayed forbearance of the face of Yahuwah, turn from the wrath of thine anger, and repent thee of this evil against thy people. And Yahuwah repented of the evil which he said he would do unto his people. Exodus 32, verses 12 and 14. Here also the wrath of anger is attributed to Yahuwah, and consequently repentance. In Jonah, the king of Nineveh said, who knoweth whether God will not turn and repent, and turn from the heat of his anger, that we perish not? 3, verse 9. In like manner here repentance is predicated because anger is. In Hosea, my heart is turned within me, my repentings are kindled together, I will not execute the wrath of mine anger. 11, verses 8 and 9. Here also it is said of the heart that repentings were kindled, just as in the passage we are considering it is said that he grieved at heart. Repentings plainly denote great mercy. So in Joel, turn unto Yahuwah your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy, and repenteth of the evil. 2, verse 13. Here also to repent manifestly denotes mercy. In Jeremiah, if so be they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, and did repent me of the evil. 26 verse 3. This signifies to have mercy. Again, if that nation turn from their evil, it shall repent me of the evil. 18 verse 8. Here also to repent denotes to have mercy, provided they would turn. For it is man who turns the Lord's mercy away from himself. The Lord never turns it away from man. 589. From these and many other passages, it is evident that the word was spoken according to the appearances with man. Whoever, therefore, desires to confirm false principles by the appearances according to which the word was spoken, can do so by passages without number. But it is one thing to confirm false principles by the word, and another to believe in simplicity what is in the word. He who confirms false principles first assumes a principle which he will not at all recede from, nor yield in the least, but scrapes together and accumulates confirmations wherever he can, also from the word, until he so strongly persuades himself that he can no longer see the truth. But he who simply or with simple heart believes does not first assume principles, but thinks that because the Lord has thus said, it is true. And if instructed from other passages of the word how it is to be understood, he acquiesces and rejoices in his heart. Even the man who in simplicity believes that the Lord is angry, punishes, repents, and grieves, and so believing is afraid of evil and does good, takes no harm. For this belief causes him to believe also that the Lord sees everything. And being in such a belief, he is afterwards enlightened in other matters of faith in the other life, if not before. Very different is the case with those who, in agreement with a foul love of self or of the world, persuade themselves to believe certain things that are deduced from the principles they have already adopted. 590. That repenting has reference to wisdom and grieving at heart to love cannot be explained to human apprehension, save in accordance with the things that are with man, that is, by means of appearances. In every idea of thought in man there is something from the understanding and from the will, or from his thought and his love. Whatever idea does not derive anything from his will or love is not an idea, for he cannot think at all otherwise than from his will. There is a kind of perpetual and indissoluble marriage between the thought and the will, so that in the ideas of man's thought there inhere and adhere the things that are of his will or his love. From this state of things in man it may, as it were, be known, or rather it seems possible to form some idea of what is contained in the Lord's mercy, namely wisdom and love. Thus in the prophets, especially in Isaiah, there are almost everywhere double expressions concerning everything, one involving what is spiritual, the other what is celestial. The spiritual of the Lord's mercy is wisdom, the celestial is love. 591, verse 7. And Yahuwah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from upon the faces of the ground, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowl of the heavens, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Yahuwah said, I will destroy man, signifies that man would extinguish himself, whom I have created from upon the faces of the ground, signifies the man of the posterity of the most ancient church. Both man and beast and creeping thing signifies that whatsoever is of the will would extinguish him. And fowl of the heavens is whatever belongs to the understanding or thought. For it repenteth me that I have made them, signifies compassion as before. 592. Yahuwah said, I will destroy man. That this signifies that man would extinguish himself is evident from what has been explained before, namely, that it is predicated of Yahuwah or the Lord that he punishes, that he tempts, that he does evil, that he destroys or kills, and that he curses. As, for example, that he slew Judah's firstborn, and Onan, another son of Judah. Genesis 38, verses 7 and 10. That Yahuwah smote all the firstborn of Egypt. 12, verses 12 and 29. And so in Jeremiah. Whom I have slain in mine anger and in my wrath. 33 verse 5. In David, he cast upon them the wrath of his anger, vehement anger and fury and straitness, ascending of evil angels. Psalm 78 verse 49. In Amos, shall evil befall a city and Yahuwah hath not done it? 3 verse 6. In John, 7 golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. Revelation 15, verses 1 and 7. 16, verse 1. All these things are predicated of Yahuwah, although entirely contrary to his nature. They are predicated of him for the reason explained before, and also in order that men may first form the very general idea that the Lord governs and disposes all things both in general and in particular, and may afterwards learn that nothing of evil is from the Lord, much less does he kill, but that it is man who brings evil upon himself and ruins and destroys himself, although it is not man but evil spirits who excite and lead him. And yet it is man, because he believes that he is himself the doer. So now, here it is said of Yahuwah that he would destroy man, when in fact it was man who would destroy and extinguish himself. The state of the case may be very evident from those in the other life who are in torment and in hell, and who are continually lamenting and attributing all the evil of punishment to the Lord. So in the world of evil spirits there are those who make it their delight, even their greatest delight, to hurt and punish others. And those who are hurt and punished think it is from the Lord. But they are told, and it is shown them, that not the least of evil is from the Lord, but they bring it upon themselves. For such is the state and such the equilibrium of all things in the other life, that evil returns upon him who does evil and becomes the evil of punishment, and for the same reason it is inevitable. This is said to be permitted for the sake of the amendment of the evil. But still the Lord turns all the evil of punishment into good, so that there is never anything but good from the Lord. But hitherto no one has known what permission is. What is permitted is believed to be done by him who permits, because he permits. But the fact is quite otherwise, concerning which of the Lord's divine mercy we will treat hereafter. 593. Whom I have created from upon the faces of the ground. that this signifies the man from the posterity of the most ancient church is evident not only from its being said, the man whom he had created, that is, whom he had regenerated, and afterwards whom he had made, that is, had perfected, or regenerated until he became celestial, but also from its being said, from upon the faces of the ground. The ground is where the church is, as has been shown before. The same is evident from the fact that those are treated of who immersed the doctrinal things of faith in their lusts, and those who had not doctrinal things of faith could not do so. Those who are outside the church are in ignorance of truth and good, and those who are in ignorance may be in a kind of innocence while speaking and acting somewhat contrary to the truths and goods of faith. For they may act from a certain zeal for the worship which they have been taught from infancy, and which they therefore believe to be true and good. But the case is entirely different with those who have the doctrine of faith among them. These can mingle truths with falsities, and holy things with profane. Hence their lot in the other life is much worse than the lot of those who are called Gentiles, concerning whom of the Lord's divine mercy we will treat hereafter.